There are three great feasts in the Christian faith. And of the three, Christmas is probably the easiest to explain, to understand, and have feelings about, because it's the feast of the child. It centers around a birth and a family, and these are things we know something about. Nothing is more appealing than the Christmas story. At Easter, we are swept up in a mystery all about new life, creative power, the defeat of death. And we pack the churches because either we believe or we want to believe that death has been defeated and life has triumphed. And then there is Pentecost, this feast, the feast of the Spirit. And it's a little harder for us to get a handle on, to get excited about, but we try. We hear in the readings today a kind of wild tale about many languages and mighty wind and flames that do not burn. A polyglot people, many races and colors and languages, and a mass conversion at the end, thousands at a time. What is going on here? It can be summed up in four words. The church is born. And when we think about it, all this is really still a description of the church today. We speak many languages. We carry on a ministry to every country on earth. And though we don't all speak the same language, we know that the unity of the church is much deeper than a common language. It's the same creed, the same baptism, the same Eucharist, the same real presence, the one body, no matter what language expresses our belief. The church speaks in every tongue as the apostles did that first Pentecost. But Pentecost is not really about language. It's about Spirit, the Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, as the third person of the Holy Trinity. And the Spirit is not as easy to grasp or relate to as Jesus, the Savior, or God, the Father. And yet the concept of Spirit is endlessly rich, and we use it all the time. There are few words in our language which have more good connotations than Spirit. All of them appealing. Think about high spirits and spirited and spiritual. All these words suggest life, liveliness, good cheer, animation, enthusiasm, joy. We love to use the word. We speak of the human spirit, victories of the spirit of 76, team spirit. We even speak of people who've died as still with us in spirit. And there's phrases like catch the spirit, celebrate the spirit, we've got spirit. Schools and businesses and sports and churches, they all try to fire up people so that they perform better, respond faster, show more excitement about what they're doing. In fact, there's a whole industry built up around promoting motivation and spirit in people. But if you really want to catch the meaning of spirit, Look at a child. When was the last time we adults got really excited about something? Children do it all the time. They get excited about snow falling, not here in La Mesa, but Julian. Or an unexpected day off from school, a test being canceled. See a child around a pet, a friend at the door, a favorite TV show. But what thrills us, adults? Does a bright sunny day fill us with pleasure? Does Saturday morning excite us about all the possibilities? Do our hearts dance at the sight of someone, anyone? Is there something we yearn to do so much that when it comes time to do it, we are beside ourselves with joy? All of this is so easy for children. They have much to teach us. No wonder Jesus warned us about not being fit for the kingdom unless we embrace it like a child. We claim our lives are too complicated to have that kind of spirit. We don't have the time or the energy. We have too many worries and problems to solve and relationships to save or fix. It wasn't that way at the first Pentecost. They were excited, those first Christians. They had followed Jesus for 3 years. They had heard him teach. They witnessed his miracles. They watched him die. They stood by an empty tomb. They saw him alive again. They ate with him. They saw him ascend into heaven. Do you suppose they were excited? Not completely. Not yet. Not until they ran back to the upper room. They prayed harder than ever. Until the Spirit of God filled that room and their minds and their hearts. Until they couldn't contain it. And so they spilled out into the streets. And they spoke to everyone about it, in every language, with every ounce of zeal. They were so wildly excited that day that people thought they were drunk. And it was 9 a.m. We may not bring that kind of spirit to church with us each week. But the thrill does not have to be gone. Every once in a while, if we really listen, if we really think about it, when we hear the story again, as if for the first time, the fire in us can be reignited. Jesus breathed the Spirit into his church, and he still does. And it's the Spirit that guides us to God. It's the Spirit that gives us the only real peace we will find in this world. So if our lives are not lively, if we feel we've lost joy or hope or courage or any sense of excitement, then it's the Spirit of Pentecost that we are looking for. Pray for it. Seek and ye shall find.